Welcome to Sales and Marketing Fry Talks, where we share insights, best practices, and anecdotes from technology companies. Join us live on LinkedIn or subscribe to our podcast. And now to the new episode. Today, we continue our conversation with Olga Bakanova, who was leading the social media efforts at Microsoft for the region of Central and Eastern Europe. And now she is a growth marketing manager at Adifo Software out of the Netherlands. Welcome, Olga.
Good morning.
Olga, so great you agreed to come back, because I think we have lots of questions and we received great feedback from our viewers as well. But let me jump straight to the point and ask you a question. Olga, you see, social channels, Facebook, Twitter, others, have received quite a bit of different kind of criticism. Yet at the same time, that's where people spend their lives, glued to those screens. So as a result, they're very potent marketing channels. But do you really trust advice you get from those guys from, let's say, Facebook or from LinkedIn? I mean, they are businesses. They are interested, first of all, to use your content to get attention to your, to their own channel. And second of thing, I feel that very often the advice they give about advertising serves their own purposes. Basically supports you spending more money on their channels. And I find that advice from influencers, from bloggers, tips and tricks are much more useful than what you hear directly from guys as like Facebook. So what's your take on that?
Well, first of all, we need to understand that Facebook, or any social media platforms actually, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, any other locals, they have actually the same objectives as you do. Right, as your business. You want your content to perform, they want exactly the same because they monetize your success. So, you know, I have quite a few interactions with Facebook and LinkedIn in my previous role, and all the advices I received from them, they totally made sense. And again, we need to understand we are on the same boat with them in this journey. The advices from influencers and bloggers, always nice to follow because they give you better perspective, I would say, right? More diverse point of view. And not everything will work for you. Not all the advices what you can get, they make sense, right? Others, it makes total sense. And that's why from my point of view, it's very important, first of all, to follow advices from the platforms. Again, I do believe that we can trust them based on my experience. It's always great to learn best practices from others, but also you need to find your way. Because in social media, you know, nothing is for granted, nothing is definite. I also discussed it previous time. So you need to find your way. You need to understand what does work for your audience with your content. But again, I think that if you combine all three, that would be the best approach.
All right. But let's say you haven't found your way yet and you are, let's say, a new tech company, you're taking your first steps in social media. Which one channel you would go to? LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter?
Well, it's not like I prefer Twitter. That's why I go with Twitter. You know, again, I'll repeat myself. Set your strategy, define your audience, and then find your audience. And where your audience is, go with that platform.
Like, yeah, I think it was actually trying, because that is something we actually touched in our last conversation as well, partially. And by the way, I highly recommend you to watch the recording of the last conversation with Olga, where we covered actually strategy part and other things. But otherwise, I think it's really when it comes to deciding which channel to use, what I would recommend avoiding is to assess those channels based on your preference. Repeating myself again, better to try. So you try and you see whether this channel works or not, whether you are getting what you actually are looking for, and then you can optimize accordingly. Definitely leverage several channels in the beginning and then focus on those which brings you really the outcome you are up for.
Yeah, you need still to audit, you know, before you go with multiple platforms, you need to assess all of them, because all the platforms, they give you this possibility to find what's the population of your target audience, right? What's the size? Yeah. So start with this exercise, because if you see on Twitter, it's like, I don't know, 1,000 people, really don't waste your time, don't waste your efforts, but, you know, focus where you have really decent presence of your audience.
Yeah, it's a very good point about assessing the audience, because you probably have to understand, first of all, what are the criteria for selecting the audience, right? And then those tools provide you different options for the targeting, like LinkedIn, probably for the B2B provides most advanced targeting options, right? Yep. On one hand. On the other hand, the same Twitter or the same Facebook, they provide some different ways of targeting, and the same Google, by the way, also provides you different ways of targeting. And you just have to find, you know, and define based on those possibilities your audience. And then you test, you try, and again, see what comes out.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, a quick question. So are you saying that Facebook and Instagram still works for, let's say, B2B? Because quite often we have this conversation with customers. They're saying them, well, why don't you use Facebook and Instagram? And they say, look, our customers are very technically oriented. They are not using Instagram. And I find it very often statistically impossible, because we know from data that like 80-90% of people are spending a great deal of time on things like Facebook, like Instagram. What's your take on that?
Well, if your audience is there, you must be there, from my point of view. In terms of Facebook and Instagram, first of all, we need to understand that this is very different platforms, right? In terms of the way they engage with the audience. We also discussed it previous time. So Instagram, it's for engagements mostly. Facebook can actually do engagements and also, you know, generate some traffic. But at the same time, the audience of Instagram is younger, right? And this is also something that we need to keep in mind. Again, it does work. BDMs, if it's your target audience, business decision makers, and 99%, this is your audience, right? So you want to influence them. They're just in the late 20s, or in the early 30s. So this is, again, this is the audience, right, for B2B, the age range we're talking about. For Facebook, people, I would say, unlimited, to be honest, in terms of age, from early 20s to up to 65 plus, you can go.
Yeah. What is rarely possible to find teenagers, though, on the Facebook, at least I can tell by my teenagers in the family, they are not on the Facebook almost never.
No.
But this is you pointed it very rightly. I think it very much depends on the format. And again, you have to consider the format of the channel of the content you want to deliver, and the type of the engagement. Very, very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, just to sum up, if your audience there, just be there as well. Don't make a mistake. I don't believe in Instagram, what we discussed like a few minutes ago. Believe data.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but how do I get this data? How do I make sense of question where my audience is, actually? Because on LinkedIn, like, I can see, I can probably identify. On Facebook, exactly the same people, but I cannot figure out, are they from SMB companies, what's their position, etc.
We discussed it previous time, right? How you can find the audience, actually. And Facebook helps you. They give multiple options how to create your audience. First of all, you can create lookalike. And secondly, they also allow you to create a similar audience to the existing followers of your page. And then you just can do A-B testing, and you can see, does it work for you or not, again. So I agree, if LinkedIn is the best option, but if you think about cost per action on LinkedIn versus cost per action on Facebook, it's for small enterprises, it can be unaffordable, you know, to be present there with paid promotion. And paid promotion makes much more sense, because organic, the platforms to build their algorithms in a way that you, again, monetize, right, in the success. And if you want to have a good performance, you need to plan some budgets for boosting of the content. So that's how it works. And Facebook, it's much more scalable than LinkedIn, and it's much easier to find and reach your audience. If you find it, it's much easier to reach it, because of the very decent cost per action.
Yeah, I think it's also important what you just mentioned about the organic versus paid. And I think you can rely on organic if you're really like global brand, well established with, you know, huge audience of your followers, then probably organic makes a lot of sense. And, you can really use it. But if you just starting with your social media, you simply don't have an organic. And I think you always have to keep this in mind that when you think of your social media strategy and execution, it means also investments in building the audience. So you need to really build the promotional budget and capacity for your content. Otherwise, it will not just make sense. You will have content maybe, but nobody will see it, or very few people will be able to see and engage with that. So what do you think?
Yeah. Look, first of all, if you don't, it's relevant for all the brands. Mm-hmm. You can be big brand, you know, I'm having big brand background now, I mean, a smaller brand background. So it doesn't matter what size of company mm-hmm. is on social media. My high recommendation to plan your boosting budget, organic doesn't work. If you want it to work, you need to have hundreds of thousands followers. In this case, you can generate some decent, not perfect, you know, quite decent organic performance. But again, you really need to put lots of efforts to build this, you know, followers base, and it can cost you lots of time. Mm-hmm. And while with boosting, you can actually find your audience, even if it's outside of your loyal circle. So that's my high recommendation to everybody, to every brand. When you set your social media presence, always think about some budget that you will put for the content, for the content promotion. Otherwise, think you invest so much time to create content, to, I don't know, probably hire somebody who can manage social media. And then the end of the story, that very few people see that. You don't have engagement, you don't have reach, you don't have clear outcome, you don't have traffic if it's, you know, if your objective strategy. There is no outcome of organic content. So always think about, you know, some budget for promotion. And here, different platforms, they have a bit different algorithms. So on Facebook, I would say the probability that organic performance will be okay, it's close to zero, based on my experience. On LinkedIn, if the content has a very high, has a spike in interest within first few hours, and if I'm not mistaken, has like 25 or so engagements, then immediately the platform gives a boost to it organically. But you need to have this content in place, and you can't, you know, with every post that you go with to spike this organic interest. It's really very, very difficult exercise.
Can you tell me what are you looking at? I mean, if you are boosting your posts, what kind of performance benchmarks would you generally expect?
I even would expand this question a little bit more. Like, in general, first of all, before we look at the benchmarks, what are the KPIs we have to look at? How to measure the success?
Exactly.
And then what are the benchmarks?
I think it's a very good question. And Andrei's life is here, right? Somebody is doing some renovation. So in terms of KPIs, what you need to think of, and again, I see based on my experience, you know, I'm connected with various companies, various countries, and I see that many of them stop to measure performance with reach, clicks, and engagements. So this, you know, quantity KPIs. While I always recommend to think about qualitative KPIs, so KPIs that can help you to understand how good was content and how relevant it was for your audience. And here we come to such things as CTR and ER, because this is actually the ratio between impressions and how many engagements or clicks were generated. So by, you know, this not indirect KPI, you can't really impact this, but you can measure it. And also, I highly recommend to look at cost per actions, for instance. People usually don't do that, but if you look to CPA and you see that, you know, because high interest your content has, lower CPA is. This is the fact. And when I set up the, we were setting up the social media hub, we were actually considering cost per action reach in every post, because by having this data in place, CTR together with CPA or ER together with CPA, we could understand actually how our audience reacted to this platform. Was it a high interest content or not? So this is number one. So again, on a social media platform, think about, you know, these multiple KPIs, quantity and quality. And then don't stop analysis here. So only on social media platform, because if you take your audience to the website, check their behavior, right? So the people whom you brought from social media, how do they behave? What's the bounce rate? How much time do they spend on your social media page? Do they interact, right? Do they go to another pages, or they just leave and that's it? So this actually also will help you to understand, is it interesting
for them? Are you saying that basically when you think of the measuring success of your social media efforts, you have to think not only within the channel itself, like, you know, engagements, clicks and stuff like that, but also outside of it? So what happens then next? Because that is probably what you are looking for, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because again, there, number of clicks doesn't mean number of visits. It's not equal, right? People can drop while the clicking.
Yeah, and visits can be very different, right?
Yeah, so. And you don't know how many unique visitors you brought with this post, for instance. But if you go, if you create a tagged link, you really can get so many insights, which will help you also to understand, you know, what's to do next. Was this content good enough for my audience to stay on the page, or they dropped within 2 seconds? Because you also need to keep in mind that statistically people make decision within 2 seconds. Do they want to stay on the page? Do they want to look at this post? Do they want to watch the video? 2 first seconds. And when you create social media content, is it video or article or blog post, whatever, 2 seconds, think of that. So if your video starts with introduction and beautiful music, done. If you immediately have some, you know, catching like message, increase your efficiency by 100%, you have a high chance that it will be watched till
you. Yes, absolutely. That's what we are also always telling customers. Nobody gives a, I will not use the word I wanted to use, but nobody gives much about who you are, what's your company, what's your philosophy. First of all, you have to provide value. And then after you have got attention and deserved the right to be listened to, then at some point you can explain, by the way, who you are and what your company is, but don't start with that. Nobody cares.
Exactly.
But what would be the good result? Like you said, you know, you will provide some benchmarks. Can you maybe just indicate what would be the good outcome, good result for you?
Yeah, I will indicate it. But just another thing, what I would love to recommend to social media managers to monitor is also insights from community management, right? So the comments you've got, the questions you received via Messenger, for instance. So like really try to, you know, to collect all the information what you have in one place and make your decision. So in terms of benchmark, I think it's one of the trickiest questions for social media. And of course I will give benchmarks for ER and CTR, because for each and, you know, quantity, it really depends on how much money did you invest. So this is not something that makes sense to provide you a benchmark. But in terms of ER and CTR, there are various numbers that you can get from platforms, right? They give kind of industry or segment agnostic benchmarks. And here I think it's really important again to define your ideal one. But what the platform says, for instance, on Facebook, they say that the good CTR is from 2 to 5%. From my point of view, it's very optimistic. It's
that's very high.
It's
I mean,
too high.
Yeah, I haven't seen this kind of CTRs in B2B products or offerings. These tend to be boring. If you have some video with cats and you're targeting it at cats lowers, no doubt you can reach 5%. But if you are selling enterprise software,
it means that you have to show the cat before you show your software. And then we'll drive an engagement.
Forget that you're selling software, and then you can succeed. Really, yeah. So my takeaway that the CTR what makes sense is 0.5, 0.9. Mm-hmm. So this is where you actually can measure success and say, okay, it's good.
Yes.
So for engagement rate, this is 0.1.
So this
is based on my experience, and for LinkedIn, for example, you can't find those benchmarks. They kind of maybe some bloggers they give this information, but the platform they don't have this. They don't share this at least with us. And here, my again takeaway was that I just for 6 months we were testing, and then we could understand, you know, what's the good ratio. And then we said, okay, this is our benchmark, and we want to measure the performance. You know. In line with this CTR and ER, what we actually could learn from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Facebook is giant corporation. So is LinkedIn. So is Twitter. Others.
Yeah.
And they are great tools to engage audience. But do you think it's a good idea to rely on them versus perhaps using gated content, registering people, and then you actually own the contact? You can send them email anytime you want. You can very easily send them new content, new case studies, etc. And emails you own them, as long as it's GDPR compliant, as long as you have consent for that, you can send people information. Now Facebook went down like a week or 2 weeks ago. There may be different things, lawsuits, regulation, everything, and one day you can wake up and with Facebook basically saying, sorry, we cannot do the same things we did yesterday today, because for multiple reasons.
Mm-hmm. I like this question. I really like this question, because we can actually cover quite a few things here. First of all, we need to recall what we have discussed with you 2 weeks ago, the objectives of social media. And objectives is not to convert unknown leads to known leads. Right, we build relationship, we introduce ourselves, we create a loyal customer circle. And if you try to sell something in social media via gated content, because from my point of view, it's selling, you want to exchange. Not selling, but you're exchanging, right? Personal data versus content, what we can provide to you. From my point of view, this is not the way you can build relationship. So establishing relationship and converting unknown leads to known leads, this is actually just different levels of the same process. So you remember we discussed with you warm-up, band, social media, superstar, paid media. So my high recommendation, don't push sales content in your editorial calendar for social media. Keep it for paid media. Question regarding Facebook, I love it. I love it so much, because in my it was everywhere in the news a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago. Quite a few global brands, they discontinued to, for some time, like for quite a few months, to publish content on Facebook due to lots of violent content which wasn't managed by the platform. And for me, it was a wake-up call, right? So I thought, okay, we can't focus on one platform. We need to diversify our social media presence. And this advice I will give to everybody who is now on the call, don't focus on one platform, because if all of them are disconnected, probably there is a much bigger problem than social media. And I think social media will be the thing we will worry the least about, right? But to think that all of them are disconnected at the same time and the regulations changed for all of them simultaneously, I don't think it's a very realistic scenario, to be honest. So that's why, again, search for your audience, verify all the platforms where your audience is, and create tailored content for each and every platform. So communicate through various channels with your audience. Don't focus on one platform.
And leverage boosting, I assume, at least paid media, right?
Absolutely.
That is what we discussed. That's a good good summary of this first part of the discussion. What I suggest we maybe also devote some time on discussing the community, because you mentioned that this is also one of the functions of one of the objectives of the social media as well, to build this community where people not only just follow you, but they also participate in your brand conversations. Can you share maybe some insights from your experience based on the community management?
Community management, this is, from my point of view, the most exciting part of social media. Because, if you read different blogs, listen to the trainings, podcasts, people usually talk about setting up social media, and they give you insights till the content is posted. And what happens after? Like, I don't see that, people really understand how valuable this after posting, conversation, what happens with your audience and interaction, what happens with your audience. So that's why, again, when you set social media, ensure that, consider that you need to manage the community, ensure that you can manage this on all the languages, which is in your portfolio and et cetera. So in terms of community and how to build it, my personal opinion, followers and community is absolutely not the same thing. Followers, they're following you, they're unfollowing you. They're not that loyal to the brand. They like your content. They're here. They kind of don't care anymore. They're leaving. And community, this is actually a loyal circle for you. And they, community comes, when I explain what's community, think about two things, communication and unity. So communication between brand and audience, and then communication within the audience. And second part, unity. So something that unites you with your audience. And usually in this case, values, right? And again, we come to the relationship stage of, of an objective from social media. So, and in terms of managing community, unfortunately, we don't have much time. So how to build community, not manage, but to build community. So first of all, again, be responsive, manage your community, answer all the questions, be on time, give yourself 48 maximum hours to answer the questions, comments that you received from them. My advice, 24, absolute maximum.
So do you have to have somebody who kind of moderates, or you at first stage just need to follow what is happening?
You need to moderate, I think. If you follow, then it's not community. Again, we are going to the follower stage. Brand follows their community, followers following the brand, and there is no relationship. Everybody follows each other and that's it, But for the community, you need to have somebody who really, into the topic, who continuously monitoring what's happening there. And also when you think about community, it's not only post period, it's pre-post period, because you also need to reflect in your content. You can't be self-promotional, you can't push sales or gated content. You need to create content which is again tailored for your custom for your target audience, and then you can convert followers to the community.
Community for me also looks like a good opportunity for testing different type of content ideas, right? So because first of all, you can get a lot of insights from just reading comments and seeing what people actually discussing. And this is not only in your community, but you can also look for competitors, you can look for some interest groups and whatever else to source ideas, right? But secondly, then you can come up with some, ideas to test, right? Hey, guys, what do you think about this? Yep. You can post some maybe polls, right? And just, see what people think on one or another topic, or what actually top of mind of your audience, right?
Yep. Absolutely, absolutely. And also one thing what I want to highlight, once you have social media set, community management set, ensure that you have crisis management protocol in place as well, because this is high risk area, right? Social media, to ensure if you have some negativity there and your brand is not a gingerbread, you will not be liked by everyone. This is given, just accept it. So ensure that you have you know, crisis management protocol in place, defined with the first day your first post is published.
Yeah, it is very, very important. And here we have to stop, unfortunately. Again, time is running out, but we have a couple of questions actually from the audience. And there is two similar questions in terms of channels, and we kind of covered that. But one question is about what is the best marketing channel for subscription tour trip business? And another one question comes about the about dental professionals, whether LinkedIn is a good good place to, you know, hunt for them, or Instagram is better. Do you have any thoughts on those questions?
Well, hunt for what? Again, for me, you know, it's quite generic questions. And first of all, who is your audience and what's your objectives? And then you have these two questions answered. You can, you know, have an understanding which is the right platform for you. So that's why for me, this like, it will be too bold assumption to say go to Instagram, because I really
don't,
you know, or go to LinkedIn. Again, depends. If you want to hire new people to inspire them, I don't know, then probably LinkedIn. If you want to create some community, I wouldn't go for Instagram, maybe Facebook. So I don't know. I really need to get a little bit more.
I fully agree. I think again, it all comes to the strategy and to defining your audience and your objectives. If it's just about the building the community or building the audience, that's one story. If it's about building a demand and general leads, it's a different story. Yes, Rollins, you have something to add, I'm sure.
Yeah, about dentists.
Yes.
You please, know, I quickly went to LinkedIn and I searched for dentists and just to see how many there are. Are there dentists? Yes, there are. Right, just search in search and you will get quite a bit of results. But it's difficult to say whether how many of all dentists are on LinkedIn, right? So I think just checking.
And what quickly, type of dentist? There are also different people, right? So I don't know, just the dentists, like a private professionals, or maybe somebody who is owning the clinic, right? It's
different. I'd put it simple. Get statistics how many dentists there are per, let's say, million population.
And in particular country, by the way.
Yeah, yes, very important.
These things differ. And then check how many dentists you can in that country find on LinkedIn. Chances are, and that again, without any research, just from gut feeling, I'd think that dentists probably, maybe Instagram.
But remember, we had some campaigns where we seen very high results in engagement and conversions coming from LinkedIn, especially Scandinavian markets. Because just in these markets, the penetration and the population of the LinkedIn is very high and almost really everyone there. But we have same time some other markets, and especially Eastern Europe and actually in Asian markets, we have seen where obviously like Facebook covers almost total population, while the LinkedIn represents just a very, very small part of it. So I think, again, it very much depends on whom you are looking after, what is your objective, and then based on that, you can assess, and by the way, better is to try and see.
Yep.
And then there is another question, just to maybe cover it as well. If there are any alternatives to Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and other big platforms, what you guys might have in as to advice here
for B2B you need to
We are talking about B2B, but let's that's
about so for B2B, these three, and I would add also Instagram to the list for my they're the key platforms, right? What is a good idea to look in your specific market, right? Because we have quite a strong presence of social media platforms in quite few countries in Europe, right? And China, for instance, you know, it's totally different story.
Yes. But
then WeChat, like in Russia, this is VK. So my recommendation just to look at the local footprint, social media footprint, and then you can find some alternatives, which is definitely will be smaller comparing to these four giants. So, but otherwise, on a global scale, these four platforms, they are at this moment the best.
Xing, yeah. Xing, by the way, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, I think Xing is reasonably big there as well.
Yeah, for some use cases, it can be a good alternative. I can mention the Telegram. In some markets, especially Russia, India, some other markets, Telegram is really gaining a lot of attention and audience. Yes. But you have to learn to work with it. But for community, by the way, for community building, for, you know, the kind of social media traditional objective, it can be a very, very good channel to leverage. And yes. Yeah, why not to see and to check?
Yeah, but okay. So I want to understand, sorry, Telegram is not exactly social media. So, I mean, it's a bit kind of...
It's a variation of...
Variation. Yeah. It's a little bit of everything, yeah.
It's a niche channel. Thanks again, Olga. It was a good conversation, I think. Time went very, very fast. Thank you all, guys, for your questions and engagement with us. We are looking forward to, you know, have you in the next conversation again and cover new topics. Stay tuned by following hashtag FryTalks on LinkedIn or just following our at IBD Consulting company page, where we share all the updates and insights, what you might see useful for you. So thanks again. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care.